Welcome to Earth2.net, the show, episode 1149.
Holiday greetings, y'all. This is, this is Will, and with me is...
Skylar Queen.
And we are here to talk about, I guess, another Christmas special that time forgot, kind of?
Kind of, sort of, yeah. The TV movie that ended a series that I adored, but nobody ever talks about anymore.
We are discussing 'Twas the Night Before Bumpy, which is a spinoff of Bump in the Night, which was a show that ran on ABC for two seasons back in the 90s, which was also a spinoff of the bumpers that ran between programs on ABC's Saturday morning lineup for about a year or two there.
What is your familiarity with Bump in the Night?
So, I know I watched the show when it was, at least the first season I remember watching. The show originally ran in 1994, 1995. On ABC, it aired at 10 a.m. opposite of Wildcats, Garfield and Friends, and the Adventures of Batman, Robin, and Spider-Man, which may explain why I didn't see it as much in the second season if it stayed in the same place, because I probably would have totally been watching Spider-Man instead.
So I don't think I watched this on ABC. I definitely watched it a lot on YTV, the Canadian children's programming channel that was like one of two for many years, and then eventually other channels would pop up. Like, you ended up getting the Teletoon, which was like a cartoon only network, but then years after that, then there was the actual Cartoon Network, and then now what was then the Cartoon Network is now Boomerang, and what was then Teletoon is now Cartoon Network. And oh no, I've done cross-eyed. But you know, there are a lot of different channels that have come and gone over the years. But YTV had a lot of the stuff you'd get from all sorts of different channels, and they were how I watched the Super Mario Brothers Super Show and The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog and Sailor Moon, basically anything that was Deke related at the time, as well as things like Reboot, that which was also on ABC at that time, and that before it went to Cartoon Network. That was always on YTV in Canada. That never had the issues with getting canceled over here. Well, until it got completely canceled. Also, it did play Batman the Animated Series and Spider-Man the Animated Series on YTV. So there were definitely points where I would watch Bump in the Night either before and after, before or after Spider-Man. I recall very much them being like some of my favorite shows on that one network. So it's interesting to think of them as, you know, rivals.
Oh yeah, I mean, I just looked at the second season of the show, ran 95 to 96, and it was airing at the same time as fucking Masked Rider, so I'm like, oh, I was probably watching that, because it was on after Power Rangers.
Well, with the second season, though, it was really through basically 95. Like, there were reruns after that, but and I don't know necessarily, like, a lot of people will blame Disney for buying ABC and, like, oh, this is why that show got canceled. But it was like, I don't necessarily think it's them so much as the fact that claymation in general is a very expensive, time-consuming process.
Oh, yeah. One day you can make about 5 seconds of footage.
Exactly. Which is why they do try to reuse certain footage quite a lot. You'll notice quite a few shots of just Mr. Bumpy's eyes that they'll just be able to reuse with a different backing behind him, and then they'll just have new voice acting on top of that. But there had been later episodes in the series where there might be they might not just be reusing a song in that episode or something, because every episode had a song at the end. They might be reusing an entire half an episode where, like, and sometimes it made sense where it was like
made in Japan and made in Japan too.
Exactly, yes. But I don't know, it just there were a lot of times where they had to cut corners, and I wonder if like they ended when they did because they couldn't really afford to or not. Not to get ahead of myself, but the very last line of this, if we want to call it a movie, are some things just ain't meant to last. I feel like that was kind of, I don't know, them winking at it. I could be reading into things, but I don't know, that felt knowing to me, at least this time.
Yeah. So if no one has actually heard of Bump in the Night, really quickly, the premise of the show.
Oh, yes, I suppose so.
It was a stop-motion animated series. Like I said, it ran for about 2 seasons, plus a bunch of bumpers between that aired like the year before the show premiered. And basically, it centers on Mr. Bumpy, who is a green monster that lives under the bed of a young boy who never gets named. And he goes on adventures with his friends, Squishington, who is a little blue claymation monster that lives in the toilets, and Molly Coddle, who is a rag doll that belongs to the boy's sister, but kind of is there to be, you know, to basically be the voice of reason in most episodes. There's other characters also. And Bumpy is voiced by Jim Cummings.
And Squishington is Rob Paulsen. However, just so we're clear, Squishington is also a bit of a neat freak. He does not live in the actual toilet itself. He lives in the tank.
Yes. Like,
not the bowl.
But yeah, that's the basic premise of the show. It was one of the creators, Ken Pontac, would go had worked on Gumby back in the 80s, and also did work on Clay Fighter, which was that fighting game that was for the Super NES, where claymation things beat each other up.
And also there was the N64 sequel, which is a specific printing of it, is one of the most rare N64 games ever, because there's the special edition that was only a rental exclusive at Blockbuster, and now people who want complete N64 collections are always trying to find that cart.
And he was also a writer on a lot of Sonic the Hedgehog games back in the mid 2010s, and was also a writer on the Sonic Boom animated series, which I kind of fucking love.
I've never seen the Sonic Boom show. I remember seeing like some of the little screen caps when like those were going around kind of as memes, and it looks cute.
Oh, yeah. But Knuckles is, like, the ultimate himbo in it, and I kind of love that.
I've seen, yeah, most of them seem to be Knuckles clips when I see anything from the Sonic Boom show. But as far as actually watching Sonic shows, I don't think they really, if we're not counting the Knuckles the Echidna show with Idris Elba more recently, which is more appropriately the Adam Pauly show featuring Knuckles the Echidna. I probably haven't seen a Sonic show since Sonic Underground.
I think I have seen every single Sonic show because I know I watched the Sonic X when it was airing.
I didn't watch Sonic X. I didn't watch Sonic Boom. I'm not watching Sonic Prime.
Okay, I haven't seen Prime.
Okay. I only remembered Prime because I was doing Christmas shopping and saw some of the toys available in stores today. I don't know if it's still running, but there are still toys.
I think it's still running because I know I want to say I remember hearing about a second season. I have, but then also I think it's on Netflix, right?
Yes, it is. That was prominently displayed on the toy.
Yeah, so second season probably just means that they ordered one season and split it in half because Netflix is fucking cheap.
Yes, that's true. I did hear that Jacksepticeye was in one of the episodes, possibly more than one. That's kind of weird.
So, anywho, also in the voice cast is Gail Mathis, who was on SNL in the sixth season of SNL, like the one that almost killed the show at one point. But also went on to voice both Shirley the Loon on Tiny Toon Adventures and Bobby's mom on Bobby's World. And honestly, her voice kind of comes through more than a few times during that. Like, you're, like, within an inch of being like, yep, that's Bobby's mom. Just like Jim Cummings half the time, you're like, yep, that's Negaduck.
That's fair.
No, literally, it's the Negaduck voice.
It's been a while since I've watched any Bobby's World. I'll need to get back to it. I just always remember the fact that, like, I'm sure that I knew as a kid that Howie Mandel was Canadian. So it confused me to no end that there was an episode that the generics were going to another country to visit Canada.
I mean, I'll be honest, when you're a kid, you get confused by that kind of thing. Like, when I was back in the day, you know, watching Full House and being confused that, oh, there's a dog that ran away from Ohio that is in the house, I thought they were in Ohio. I'm in Ohio. Everyone's in Ohio.
Well, that's cute, actually.
And then having to learn how far San Francisco actually is from Ohio. It's far.
Yeah. I've never been to San Francisco, partially because it's far.
Yeah.
Before we get into this proper, do you have any other, like, memories of the show, like any episodes or specifically, or just sort of like in passing, you've watched it kind of thing.
I will say 100% the theme song is at least somewhat burnt into my mind, in particular the line, he goes 100 miles an hour, he drinks dynamite.
I always thought he's green dynamite.
I don't know. I did watch this with the subtitles, so I don't know.
Fair enough. Either way, I do find a lot of their songs were always very catchy. The karaoke cafe segments have stuck with me with the I Was Right and You Were Wrong, I'm going to sing the I Was Right song. being one that's just lodged in here. And particularly, though, other than the theme song, there are two things in here that I'm just constantly, like, just, they're always there. One will flip-flop with the actual song they're parodying, because the majority of the songs in this one are holiday tunes that you normally would know. But the other one is just like, no, I'll remember this one far more than I will remember what it actually is meant to be a takeoff on.
I also very distinctively remember that one of the karaoke's, they did literally a cover of School's Out by Alice Cooper.
Yes, yes, they did. It's, I think the only cover they did. I could be wrong there, but that's the only one that jumps to mind. Otherwise, I after the show ended, it didn't air very much in Canada anymore. There were, for a little while, it would be stopping its regular airings and then go away for a couple of years, and then it might come back for a few weekends, and then I'd be really excited and watch a few and then move again or get taken off again. So I was buying any videotapes that I could with Mr. Bumpy on them, because there were older tapes from before Disney bought ABC that ABC put out, including a like Best of the Karaoke Cafe tape. But then Anchor Bay got the license and they put out this movie, as well as a couple Best of collections. And I had those for many years before tapes kind of went out of fashion. I still don't have the complete series set. I'd like to get it at some point, but the only thing that I have now is there was a Sterling Media DVD that was a Best of collection that had the only episode that I was ever afraid of as a kid, which is also considered one of the best ones they did. Night of Living Bread. It's about Mr. Bumpy and Squishington being terrorized by a piece of, like, sentient kind of, like, nuclearly cooked toast. It's very strange. But, yeah, that toast was creepy.
Creepy toast.
Yeah. And with that, let's get to Christmas.
Okay. So, I'm going to just out and out say I did not do a full synopsis for this, just because, honestly, I think it's very concise as far as it goes. I'll try and break it into little chunks, though.
Okay.
And then just, if I miss anything big, just mention it there. Okay, so, Mr. Bumpy is running a Christmas pageant, but also he wants to go to the North Pole to steal Santa's bag so he can have all the gifts for himself. Squishington wants a pair of feet so he can tap dance, because Squishington does not have feet. And Molly just wants a hug. So, Mr. Bumpy and Squishington decide, okay, cool, we're going to go to the North Pole, and ends up putting Molly in charge of the pageant. They end up going the wrong direction. They end up going to South America by accident instead of the North Pole, and end up running into a earthworm who is voiced by Cheech Marin, and are able to ask, hey, can't you just, you know, dig us to the North Pole? And he does, and says, okay, yeah, sure, I'll do that.
Okay, so let's see here. I have lots to say. So with my notes here, I did notice that the theme song is slightly different, not in the song itself, but they use clips of the actual special and or movie that you're about to see rather than things from the past, which is very strange. But kind of nice.
I could see why you would do that, because this probably would have been split into like three episodes eventually, but didn't. So, I mean, yeah, you would probably, if you're airing this in Friday on in the night or in the evening as like a Christmas special, or you're releasing it on VHS, yeah, it just makes more sense to, hey, we're only going to show segments integral to what you're about to watch.
The credits are written on Christmas cards and wreaths and stockings, which is very nice, although when you go back to the living room to see that Bumpy has set traps for Santa that Squishington has unwittingly sprung, those credits are no longer on the stockings. Poor continuity. I do wonder, though, what would happen if the family got into the traps, too? Because, like, a gelatinous monster can take more of a beating than human children.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they would have also had to be forced to acknowledge all the weird crap that keeps on going on in their house.
Well, you know. Who doesn't have a missile in their couch?
Fair. I mean, I keep my... I don't know. I keep my most of my missiles in the Davenport.
Okay. The closet monster... the closet monster is a thing I don't think we talked about. But he was a recurring antagonist on the show. He is a sentient pile of clothes and wire hangers. He kind of looks cute because of the droopy eyes of the sweaters that make his face, but also kind of creepy because of the wire hangers being terrible claws. Any thoughts on the closet monster?
Yeah, I mean, it's a character that I forgot existed.
Okay.
Like I said, there's a lot with this that I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know where I was thinking with this. Just I've always loved this show, and I don't know. I do watch this most years, this particular movie/special. So I don't know. I'm just excited about talking about it at all.
Yeah.
This was the first time, though, I also had gone frame by frame on Christmas or on Bumpy's Christmas list needs. There are a lot of things here. And, like, that's part of the joke, but in the list, there were sweat socks, rocket hands, twice, tissues, crusty tissues, atomic hands, twice, rocket pack and atomic hands, both twice, facial tissues, swamp stuff, whatever that means, socks all wet, flasks of rare infections.
Oh my.
Yes. Comic books, postage stamps, thermostats. Don't know what he would do with that. Shoelaces, old meat, rotten cheese, stinky feet, dog drool, an old boat, teeth. And I don't know if this is a spelling error because he often had letters backwards anyway. He wrote down deer hat. I don't know if he's talking about like an antler themed hat or if he wants one of those like I can drink from my hat kind of beer hats.
Why not
really
both?
Would fit him. Well, honestly, yes. Both would fit him well. during that opening area before Bumpy and Squishy leave, there is a short 12 Days of Christmas parody. Possibly the shortest version of 12 Days of Christmas I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. Like, there's about four, maybe five, like, people saying something, and then it's done. Because it was Bumpy, Squishy, Molly, Destructo, and that's it. So four. But, yeah. When Molly is put in charge, none of the other toys and bugs and, like, other inhabitants of the boys' room seem to care about the pageant anymore. Destructo says maybe he should call his agent to get another booking. Why does a child's toy have an agent to get another booking on Christmas Eve?
Maybe he was in line to be in, you know, some big CGI animated film, but lost out on that because he was in this.
Maybe. I wasn't sure if you were going to go with Small Soldiers there instead of Toy Story, but okay. I always found the aggressive version of Molly to be mild, like, not necessarily scary, but mildly unnerving. I don't actually have any notes here about Cheech's character.
Yeah, he's he's an earthworm who wants robotic arms and is also a conquistador.
As you do.
His name translates to worm without hands.
That is helpful for identification, I suppose. Yeah. Will he have to change it, however?
Maybe. There is also a random... I think the first point where I thought, oh, they're reusing animation was the... There's a point where they just have a song about peanut butter.
Well, yes, peanut butter is great with jelly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Underarms are great, smelly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la.
It just, it came out of nowhere, and I'm like, oh, I mean, I guess.
I mean, that was also a way that they would reuse animation during the karaoke cafe things, where, like, there would be moments where you would see them actually singing the song, but a lot of it would be like, okay, this lyric relates to this thing that we have done on the show, so let's add that. When it comes to a point where Squishington says, I would like to own a pony, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, they say, well, we haven't had a pony, so they reuse a bit that I do not remember of what episode it is from, but they are riding a, for some reason, moving frozen turkey. It has no head, it has no feet, but it is moving like it is a living turkey. And it's really weird.
Like you do.
It's a very charming show, but it's very strange as well.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. Like I said, I did not rewatch a single episode of this before getting ready to talk about it. So this is honestly my first real exposure to the show, probably since I was 10.
Wow! Did you watch any of the After These Messages? We'll be right back bumpers again?
Nope.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I vaguely remember when those bumpers ran, but I also remember the... I think the first year this ran was the year that the What a Mess bumpers were running. So I kind of remember those a little bit more, even though I can't even remember watching a single episode of What a Mess.
The DVD that I have this this movie on also has the What a Mess Christmas special, the Sonic Christmas special, and then two random other Deke Christmas specials. What a Mess also aired on YTV in Canada.
Nice.
Yeah.
It is worth pointing out, Deke actually had nothing to do with the production of this show. They just happened to buy it after the fact.
I've heard that as well. I had not realized that. I don't know if I would have been looking too closely at the credits when I was 3 to 5. But, you know.
So, Molly is forcing everyone to rehearse for the Christmas pageant. She has gone completely mad with power, which, you know, hey, have you ever tried going mad without power? The earthworm has been able to get Bumpy and Squishington to what at first he is absolutely saying is the North Pole, but it's actually Stonehenge. Where they meet a bird by the name of Doris, who is a hummingbird, who is really obsessed with eating fast food and junk food. And they promise her, well, if you come with us to the North Pole, you can get a jetpack. Also, the worm may almost gets hit by a piece of Stonehenge and just disappears. For a good amount of the special.
For a large portion of time, yes.
Yep. So Mr. Bumpy dresses Squishington up as a hamburger, ties him to a fishing pole, jumps on the bird's back, and forces the bird to try and fly him as close to the North Pole as possible until the bird is able to get a little bit of a bite and they plummet to the ground into the North Pole.
Doris is truly an idiot. Like, I understand she's hungry, but she's aware that Squishington is at least sentient. But she still is like, oh, yes, you squirming burger, I'm going to eat you, just a nibble. And it's just like, shouldn't you be aware that the burger shouldn't be alive?
I mean, she also has, in her list of demands, she also includes artificial flavored baked bean potato chips.
I mean, have you seen the kinds of potato chips they have nowadays? That's not that out of the ordinary.
Yeah, but baked beans? Really?
Well, whatever. I was about to say, though, this is, again, though, a show where there is an evil piece of toast. So perhaps she has encountered other sentient foods, and I was just wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. We do get, so one of the songs that we get in here is, so there is a silverfish character who apparently is Jewish and sings about the dreidel song.
Probably my first version of the dreidel song I had ever heard.
My first would have been on the critic.
Huh. Yeah, I would have been too young for the critic. But, sure that, like, I've definitely heard, like, more serious versions after this one, but, like, yeah, I don't know. I always thought, like, oh, that's a catchy song, and then eventually, years later, be like, oh, it's a real song.
I mean, I had about the same thing, because at first I was like, oh, yeah, you know, it's funny, because Arnold Schwarzenegger is singing about a dreidel on The Critic. At first, I was like, oh, it's a silverfish who is singing about dreidels. Oh, God, is this is kind of not good.
There are elements that could be seen as problematic.
Yeah. Yeah, a little. A little. As a note, the Silverfish also is voiced by Danny Mann, who has done lots of voices over the years, almost always as additional voices in everything from Disney to Lego to The Lorax to, yeah, anything over that you can think of. And I cannot actually place where I've heard his voice in any of the stuff that I am looking at that he's done.
I assume that the Silverfish, there are several Silverfish in this episode to kind of dancing around with him. But the main Silverfish's name, I would assume, is a reference to the classic comedian,
Phil Silver. Who was,
yes,
yeah.
Because the character's name is Phil Silverfish. So it was the Sergeant Bilko actor, who was also Honest John, I believe, on the Beverly Hillbillies, the bassist for Top Cat. But yeah, I guess by the 90s, it wasn't really a hip reference, but still kind of a cute one.
Oh God! I finally figured out where I've heard freaking Danny Mann's voice again from. Oh God! Oh. Have you ever heard of Aladdin and the Adventure of All Time?
I have not.
So it was this really, really terrible animated Aladdin film from 2000. Disney is not involved in any way, shape, or form, but it's basically about a book nerd who ends up wishing for Aladdin to come and make her life exciting, while meanwhile Aladdin is dealing with Scheherazade taking over the kingdom.
Huh.
It's so bad.
We're talking like a Good Times kind of thing, or?
Like, it would, like Good Times would look at it and be like, wow, that's bad.
A lot of Good Times videos would also air as like Christmas specials on YTV when I was a kid. It didn't last into like my adolescence really, but when they were new, basically, there would be a few years where they would be playing them.
Oh yeah, no, I've seen a lot. I've seen a fair amount of Good Times holiday specials. I've seen the special with the little girl whose Christmas cancer is cured by just staying awake.
I don't know which one that is.
I can't remember the name of it, but it's something with a snowman.
That sounds like an interesting title for like something you could make like a new film for next Christmas. Something with a snowman.
Magic Gift of the Snowman.
Oh, yeah, I've never heard of that one.
So the other real note I had in here is the little Silverfish. Oh, the Doris Bird is also voiced by Jim Cumming.
That makes sense. Yeah, I couldn't hear it exactly, but it sounds like something that it's just like a few degrees off from things that would normally be his normal stuff. Well, we've gotten to the North Pole at this point.
Yeah.
I've got a few things about this little bit before we reach the climax, I suppose.
Yeah, before they get to Santa's North Pole compound.
Yeah, so there's the song which is their Jingle Bells parody. I have found this to be, this was one of the two that I thought was like the ones that have stuck with me through the years. Jingle bells, Santa dwells deep in the North Pole. We went to swipe his bag of toys and fell into a hole. Has just been constantly there for decades. And I don't know why, but it's always there.
And there's, we are getting a recap of something that happened 20 minutes ago.
I mean, yes, but in a fun, festive fashion.
Fair, yeah. Like, I'm not trying to be a wet blanket. But yeah, this is around where I was like, oh, yeah, no. This is when I actually bothered to research, why are they reusing so much footage? And realized, oh, yeah, because ABC screwed them.
Basically, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, we're ordering another complete season. And also you have to do a Christmas special for us. So, they arrive at the North Pole, where Santa has a North Pole compound gated off and patrolled by both elves and by big burly snowmen.
Snowmen who look like they're from Clay Fighter.
Oh, yeah. So, they end up going, they sneak into the compound before they are discovered by trying to pretend to be a snowman. But as they go through and everything, Squishington pretty much provides cover for Mr. Bumpy to find the bag. They end up stealing the sleigh. They end up getting chased around and everything. Mr. Bumpy accidentally delivers everyone's gifts for Christmas before arriving back at the pageant, where Molly is completely running the thing with an iron fist. Everyone gets their gifts, except for Squishington, who finally decides to go off on Mr. Bumpy for, hey, no, I did everything for you, and I get nothing. And it turns out, oh, wait, no, he... The one gift that he had left, that Mr. Bumpy had left over, was a pair of tap shoes, which, you know, hey, good for them. And then they sing a version of the 12 Days of Christmas.
The tap shoe themed noisemaker, so you could move it up and down like it was, you know, like those clapping hands types of noisemakers, make it shoes instead. But, yeah. That's the ending. But, well, before I get to that part, let me go through all these.
Really quick, they are very lucky that the North Pole is bumpy size.
Yeah, see, okay. I understand it with the elves, but I wondered about, like, I wonder about Santa, because, like, there is a point where it says for the elevator, elevator capacity 100 elves or 4 snowmen. Now, how is that size for Santa? Because there are certain things that should be bigger for him compared to the elves and, like, Bumpy is the size of a toy, as we know. So certain things seem a little skewed, size-wise.
Santa can change shapes using Christmas magic?
I suppose. There's a point where the lead elf, who I think is voiced by Rob Paulsen, he's doing like a gruff voice, but so, like, I'm not certain, but I'm just guessing. But he mentions that in that job, you'd have to be ready to stick your hand in slush that only seconds ago was Frosty's face, which is fucking dark.
A little, yeah.
The song that I was saying, like, I know this one far better than the real version. It's we're providing security for toys, guarding them toys. We're providing security for toys. I think that is possibly the best version of that song that could ever have been made. Thoughts on the number?
It's a cute number, and I honestly like it. It's a very much a... I think they do a good job of modifying all the songs for, like, the special in this. Some are much better than others. Like, once again, random bit of peanut butter to... But here, yeah, no, I mean, it works in the context of the special so well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is easy to just, you know, okay, we're going to take the tune of a Christmas song and Jingle Bells, Batman Spells, Robin Laid an Egg.
Yeah. That makes sense. I do love the candy cane rifles. I don't really have more about that. It's a nice Christmassy touch. There is a point where the one main elf demotes a snowman to snowman second class, and then the snowman becomes just kind of a face ball. What is the class system to make it like, okay, you're a burly muscle snowman versus a face ball?
I tell you, I think that, honestly, I think the North Pole is just a very classist society.
That's fair. It's very strange that, I suppose if Santa knew that Bumpy was going to take the gifts and then give all of them accidentally to all the children of the world and give that last gift to Squishington, perhaps that's why. But what I wrote here is, what time is it that Bumpy's family in California is asleep already, but Santa hasn't left yet?
Time is warped and space is bendable in this one, okay? Because they are somehow able to walk all the way to Peru, jump in a hole, tunnel to Stonehenge, get flown by a bird to the North Pole, deliver all the toys for Christmas, and arrive back at the house, all in the span of rehearsal for the Christmas pageant, which is later that night.
Must be a very long pageant.
Oh yeah, they didn't show it in there, but they also performed the entire 6-hour version of the Nutcracker.
They have an Indiana Jones reference there's a big rolling rock, but the Rolling Santa of Doom, as they refer to it, kind of looks like the Santa from Nightmare Before Christmas. I don't know if that was, like, deliberate, but...
I could see that. Yeah. Maybe they got it for cheap.
Maybe. I do know that Rob Paulsen did use his Carl Weezer voice when he says, "There goes Santa! Sure has a lot of warts." But also, how did this child see Mr. Bumpy in that sleigh? How good is his eyesight that he can see this little tiny monster in that sleigh?
He got the good glasses?
I guess so. This is ridiculous that I would even ask this question, but how did Joaquin and Doris find the house?
Their presence had maps to the house? I don't know.
Maybe. Okay. And the last thing here is that The internet seems to think it's her, but IMDb doesn't, and the credits don't. Destructo's girlfriend with one line might have been Kathy Moriarty?
Oh, that's cool.
It certainly sounds like her, but I can't confirm for sure.
I mean, Destructo gets the gift of cheap, efficient robot sex. You know, hey, good for him.
Yeah, I don't know.
And how that... it sounds like Kathy Moriarty, which even better.
I don't know how one is supposed to feel about a gift being given when they're sentient, but I guess, like, I'm putting more thought than I should about this, aren't I?
A little, but hey, that's what we do here.
Well, anyway, yeah. So that was the special, and I had a wonderful time. I feel like we stayed more on topic than we did with Mr. Willoughby's Christmas tree.
Totally fair. I mean, listen, it's just like, this is not the worst Christmas special I have ever seen. This is not, and just like Mr. Willoughby's isn't even in the, like, close to the worst, worst Muppet Christmas thing I've ever seen.
What would the worst Muppet Christmas thing you ever seen be?
Nothing comes to mind, that's the thing, because I think the Muppets just go well with Christmas, so.
Fair.
It might be the worst, in which case that is a pretty high bar for any future Muppet Christmas, you know, fair.
Fair.
But yeah, no, I mean, this isn't bad. I think if you have seen the show, you will definitely get more out of it, but at the same time, like, it's a cute special. I definitely laughed, and there are a few different songs that will be at least a little bit stuck in my head for a few days.
Well, clearly, peanut butter is great with jelly, fellow. La 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 la.
I mean that, and also Santa must wear a toupee.
Ah, yes, Santa's beard is awful weird. He must wear a toupee. Yes. I really wonder if Jim Cummings and Rob Paulsen could possibly even remember any of these songs. Like, they're constantly told, sing this song from Animaniacs or this song from Winnie the Pooh. But how many people are telling them to sing songs from, like, Bump in the Night?
Okay, do we want to score this?
what would you score it? Well,
I'm probably gonna give it a 3.
Out of how many again?
5.
Okay. Let me see. Well, we don't do halves. All right, 3.
Okay.
Because 4 might have been a little too far. But I want to do 4.
But yeah, overall though, I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Feliz Navidad, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate, or whatever you don't celebrate.
Oh, I didn't know if I was supposed to say something there, but same. Oh gosh, I literally just did the Tim Allen Christmas with the Cranes thing.
Okay. That's something I tried to blank out of my brain.
Well, I didn't mean to. I've seen that movie far too many times over the years. But
I've seen someone it says once, and yeah, I kind of think I'm good there, hopefully.
Someone said a nice toast, and then he said, same goes for me, double. Anyway, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.
Bumpy, you tried to get the bag last year, and the year before that. You try every year.
And why not? Would have had it last year, if my rotary beard hair puller hadn't broke, and the year before hadn't been decoyed by that foolish Santa on the grassy knoll. But this is the year I'm gonna get it! Gotta have 'em! Gotta have 'em all!
Christmas is about more than just presents, Bumpy.
What? Oh, yeah, I knew that. But that's the best part! Besides, I got Christmas needs!
Our email address is theshow@earth2.net. That's theshow@earth-2.net. Our voicemail line is 513-EARTH-20. That's 513-327-8420. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, we're at Earth_2. That's Earth_2. Please visit the website, www.earth2.net. That's www.earth-2.net. While you're there, on the left-hand side of the page, you'll see a link that says Forums. Click it and join the forums, please. If you enjoy what we're doing and would like to support Earth2.net and Earth2.net the show, there are several things you can do. First, make sure to tell your friends about Earth2.net and all of our podcasts. Second, go to iTunes to leave us positive feedback. Third, you can become a patron of the show by visiting patreon.com/earth_2. That's patreon.com/earth_2. And lastly, donations in any denomination can be made by heading over to paypal.me/earth2. That's paypal.me/earth2. There are no spaces, dashes, or underscores, just Earth and 2. Until next time, good night.